This is The Science Show, in a year when we shall concentrate as ever on three vastly important themes: young people and their future, how vital it is to know history really well and stop its neglect, and thirdly, the really big one, to recognise the brilliance of women and make sure their creativity is given a chance to flourish and make the world a better place. Well, young people were featured a lot last year in The Science Show. We had the 10-year-olds at Whitehorse School in Melbourne studying slime moulds. And we had the primary school kids in Ballarat with scientific pen pals at Monash. And we had pupils at Hope Vale School in northern Queensland performing a musical called Einstein's E equals MC squared. Yes, a musical. Our Science Show ventures this year with children will be assisted by Carl Smith, at present in Heidelberg in Germany. And he, as you may know, is especially taken with kids. I want to talk about young people. And you said something a few weeks ago in The Science Show, just before you left for Germany, about treating young people like small adults, not just like kids. What inspired you to take that sort of free attitude?
I think for me and for many people who spend time with kids, it's something you realize that the more time you sit down and actually talk and listen to them. So I, from a very young age, was helping out with babysitting and tutoring and so on. And when I was 17, I actually went to the UK, to Winchester, and worked as an assistant teacher for a year at a school for upper primary kids over there.
Is that the famous Winchester School, the private school? Because that was one of the top schools in the world.
One of the junior schools that feeds into Winchester. It's called the Pilgrim School. It was a remarkable trip to go over there for a year and to work. I lived in the attic of this 12th century building that was the main sort of schoolhouse. And a lot of the kids boarded there. And so because of that, a lot of what I did was hanging out with them and listening to them and being sort of like an older brother in some ways. I also had them for sports classes and I was standing next to them to help and to work through some of their problems and so on and to learn alongside them. And because I spent so much time at quite a young age with a bunch of younger kids, I learned how to interact with them and I learned how to listen to them. That is something that when you're an adult, it's so distant for you. When was the last time you interacted with a kid who was 12 years old? And can you still relate when you're in your mid-30s or in your 40s? And I think because I had that experience quite early on that reminded me of what it was like being that age and to really kind of connect with them. And then I've continued working with kids in lots of different ways since then, including in the media. I've just been able to maintain that connection. I think also I am a bit of a big kid myself. I can be very playful, I can be very silly, and that really helps, I guess, keep that idea of what it's like to be a kid front of mind for me. And that's been so important in some of the work that we've done through Behind the News on ABC TV and also through Short and Curly, the ABC Kids podcast, and some other projects that I've been involved in. Because a lot of the time in the media, we do have people who still talk about children and remembering what it's like to be a kid and being able to connect with them on their level and to treat them just like any other human, I think is really important when you're working in that space.
When you're doing Behind the News, BTN, which you've done off and on for some time, what do young people say, these quite young people, about the turmoil we're going through, the bad news, the worries? Do they take any notice? Do they know politicians or what?
Yeah, you know, all the surveys suggest that children are pretty affected by what's been happening in the world. They're very engaged with climate issues. And I stopped working with BTN a few years ago now. And even then, they were very engaged with environmental issues and were concerned about what their future is going to look like. And I reported on a piece earlier last year for one of the Science Brief segments on your show that was talking about who's going to be most affected by climate change. And for those people who were born in 1980, they're largely not going to see many differences in terms of the big catastrophic events that are forecast under some of the more extreme climate change simulations. But for children who are born today or after the year 2000, they're going to experience a much higher number of catastrophic natural disasters. And they're aware that this is happening and that it's happening predominantly to them and that they have some agency in this. And they've seen people like Greta, you know, stand up to the world's politicians and leaders and have an impact. And I think that fills them full of hope and enthusiasm. there's nothing like a bunch of enthusiastic kids. I think they can really change the world when they get together and have a unified purpose. And there's a lot of really bright kids out there who want to make a difference. So I think they're very aware. I think they are a little bit shocked. Increasingly, we're getting better at helping them navigate through some of these tricky situations as well. I remember at BTN, we did some sessions talking about bullying, about helping one another. We worked closely with child psychologists to develop those programs. Across the media, we're seeing more of that. Like, how can we create resilient, self-aware children who can deal with some of the problems that they're going to have to face in their lives? Most of all, whenever I get out and I talk to kids, I'm blown away by the enthusiasm and the hope, because I think for a lot of us, it can feel quite daunting at the moment.
And they're enthusiastic, even though they seem, so many people tell us, not to know much about radio or television anymore. And do they think you're anachronistic or just a nice guy and ignore all that stuff? Or is there hope that they might, in fact, be engaged if given half a chance?
I think children have a very interesting concept of celebrity. So because I host a podcast, they think that I'm some uber celebrity sometimes, because they kind of don't know where you fit on that scale. But it is interesting, like when you go out and you talk to kids, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? A lot of them say, I want to be an influencer on a social media site, or I want to be someone who has my face on a screen. So I think there is still value put in public figures amongst children. They see me as someone that should know what's going on in the world, and someone to look up to, and someone that they want to get to know and get a sense of, what do you see from that vantage point? I don't know whether they have completely disengaged from older media as well. I think in a lot of ways, the newer media is the old media repurposed and put into a different style to fit whatever platform we are going to be viewing it or listening to it or reading it in. And I think that means a lot of the figures, the people who are standing up and talking, are still going to be there and are still important to younger people.
What about Carl Smith himself? Now, I seem to recall that at the University of Queensland, you studied genetics. What else is there to say about your scientific background?
Well, I guess I've always had, since I was quite young, an interest in both sides, the humanities and the sciences. I remember when I was maybe like 14 years old, growing up on the Gold Coast, I had my stereo on next to my bed, and it was a humid evening, and I was listening to an old ABC RN program called The Night Air, which you're probably very familiar with, Robin, and it was about insects. And I remember thinking, God, this is perfect. It's someone having a great time talking about insects creatively with sound-rich atmospheres around the discussion. And I remember thinking, oh, well, that's an incredible thing, and not imagining that I could ever be involved with something like that. But when I went to uni, I was guided by being quite fascinated in, I guess, the nerdy side of both of those spheres, the humanities and the sciences. So I enrolled in a science and journalism dual degree. I originally started in environmental science, actually, and then switched over to genetics. And I spent some time working in laboratories while I was there. So I worked on evolution, genes for human fitness, and also spent some time looking down a very expensive microscope at cells that were alive and wriggling around. And I remember thinking, look, I love science, and I come from a family where science is important. My mum is a geneticist herself. And so I was very curious about science, but I realized that working in science didn't necessarily help with the other sort of twin passion for me, which was getting excited about it and talking about it. And so I helped out at the University of Queensland with our university's community radio station. And I set up a science program on that community radio station. And I realized then that, okay, this is something that fuses those two areas quite nicely. And from that, I managed to get an internship with Anthony Fennell and Future Tense. So one of our RN programs up in Brisbane. And he took me under the wing and said, great, help write some briefs, make a doco for me. And from there, it's just been a very interesting journey through the ABC via ABC News.
I remember listening to that program, and I was really struck by this wonderful concept you had about those funny little robot vacuum cleaners. And that when someone had their vacuum cleaner go wrong, they didn't just want to go out and buy another one, but have their one repaired, because it had a sort of personality for them. You know, that was a very interesting thing that stuck in my head all these years later. Now, a final point. 2022 is the 200th anniversary of Gregor Mendel, the father of your field, genetics, the peas and all that. So will you help us celebrate that amazing anniversary?
I'd love to. I think genetics has come so far in 200 years from those early experiments by a priest in a field looking at his veggie patch. I think it is remarkable that we're at the point now where we have CRISPR technology that could potentially be used to change our own genes. And to go from those early days of conceptually understanding concepts like evolution and genetics, and to now be at a point where we have real discussions amongst the scientific community about, do we want to be changing living organisms' genes on a regular basis, including our own? I think that is just remarkable, and it shows how far we've come, not just in that field, but across science in general over those 200 years. It's been a remarkable journey, and I think looking back to remember what that journey has been like gives today's developments so much more credence. So, yeah, any way I can help, I would be happy to.
Thank you, Carl, and I hope you're having a good time in Germany, and see you when you get back in mid-year.
Thanks, Robin.
Carl Smith now in Heidelberg studying the sciences of the very big and the very small. He'll rejoin us later to make more youthful science shows, we hope.